of Revelation, the 8th chapter. Let's read just a little bit and see if the Lord will give us a thought or two. Now, on Sunday morning, I love to take my time, if I can, and exhort a little bit, teach a little bit, holler at you a little bit. But I'd like for you to give us your attention this morning. I feel a good spirit here. I feel people wanting to hear. You know, a lot of times you ask a person to, you know, how that God speaks, and they say, well, you say, do you believe he speaks through a donkey? They'll say, yes. Do you believe he speaks through the trees? They'll say, yes. Then you say, well, do you believe he speaks through human beings? They'll say, well, he used to back in the days of the prophets. Say, well, don't you believe he speaks today? So, well, I believe someday he will, because I believe there's something coming. So, well, don't you believe that he can say anything at all today through a human being? Well, they'll say, maybe, you know, could be, but you can tell the way they're talking, they don't believe he'd ever speak through you. But how do you believe God can speak through a human being? I tell you what, if he could speak through the prophets, which was not bone of his bone, nor flesh of his flesh, how much more can he speak through a child of God that's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? If he can speak through another body, I'm sure he can speak through his own. The Bible teaches when the minister is speaking, it is not him speaking, but the heavenly Father from within him. Chapter 8, the first verse. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up. And all green grass was burnt up. The second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it. And the night likewise. I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. The shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplate, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there was sting in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon. One war is past, and behold, there comes two wars more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I saw the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire, by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of them which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor talk, walk. Neither repented they of their murderers, nor of their sorcerers, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his feet were as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. He had in his right hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. When he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is opened in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. Now, I know that's reading an awful lot, but I want to get a thought over this morning. How many of you got time to listen? Give me time this morning to try to explain to you what I understand. There is a lot of things that's said pro and con concerning people, concerning things, concerning happenings. A lot of things are said. But it has always been my conviction since I've become a Christian that there is but one absolute, and that is the Word of God. I appreciate what Brother Pike contributes to the ministry. I appreciate what Brother Branham contributes to the ministry. I appreciate what Paul contributed to the ministry. And I appreciate what Elijah contributed to the ministry. I believe that that was God's word speaking through these men in its season and in its age. But the only absolute is the Word Himself, Jesus Christ. All men make errors. All men make mistakes. But it was said of Jesus, I find no fault in him. Him being the Word, there has never been any fault found in him, nor shall there ever be any fault found in him. So then the Word of God is our absolute, and it is the only absolute that we have. in that the Word of God is spirit. The Word of God is spirit. It is life. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, the eternal Word, the Spirit of life, is the same to me today that He was to Adam. He will be the same tomorrow and on forever and ever. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God Word, the God Spirit. All He requires is faith. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. Through the atonement, we have the declaration from Jesus that it is finished. I accept that it is finished. It is said that Brother Branham finished the mysteries of God. I believe in my heart that Brother Branham came with the mysteries of God. And I believe that you could use the terms Brother Branham finished the mysteries. You could use the terms that Brother Pike finished the mysteries if I died today, in that I am over here near the end of time. If somebody come on the scene later, you could say they finished the mysteries if there was a minister, because each one is later than the other. But it is a true fact that there's only one biblical declaration of it being finished, and that is Calvary. Jesus said, "It is finished." And I believe that before Paul ever came on the scene, it was finished. Before any of the ministers following ever came on the scene, it was finished. And I believe that before Abraham ever came on the scene, that it was finished in the mind of Christ before the world ever was. Instigated in the mind of God before the world was, manifested at Calvary, and comprehended in the end time for the benefits of it. I use the term comprehended because the Bible tells us that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we might comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length. So then, God's program and plan is for one thing, that we must comprehend. If we do not comprehend what God has done, then it's of no benefit to us. But if we comprehend thoroughly what God has given us, proportionally speaking, down through the years, until it has come to this day, the ultimate, then if we comprehend, then we have the blessings of God. We have the benefits of God. And so then it is important that we comprehend. Now let me say this as I reason with you for just a few minutes before we really get into the message. I believe in divine comprehension. As a matter of fact, I believe we have a tape called Divine Comprehension. I believe Brother Taylor named it Divine Comprehension. I believe that God is a spirit. I do not believe that you can see God. I believe that God is a spirit, that He is the great light under which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. I don't believe that any living human being has ever seen God, and I don't believe that any living human being will ever see God, now or later. Because the Bible said that He is the great light into which no man can approach. Jesus Christ alone, dwelling in that light, has made Him known unto us. He within the bosom of the Father hath declared Him. So then God will never be seen with natural eyes except through the body of Jesus Christ, which is the only personification of God other than the membership of the church, which is the membership to the head, Jesus Christ, who is the Godhead. Now, I know that Jesus is the only Godhead. How many agree to that? The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus. You agree to that? That's the Bible. All right, now, but the fullness of the God body dwells in the church. The Bible teaches that we're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. And we're all baptized into a membership of that body by the Spirit. So then Jesus is the head of that body, but we are that body. Now, I remember the vision I had the other night about the woman with the head but no body. All right, now, in the vision, I gave the woman back her body. I believe that through divine comprehension, that we comprehend God, that God is a spirit. In the beginning was God, the eternal spirit. Then he was made the word that we call the message. Now, God, being a spirit, hath declared himself. Just like I would make a declaration, our Declaration of Independence, those men declared themselves. We have the declaration. Christ has declared himself, or that is God through Jesus Christ, has declared himself for the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, in that the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ was God. He hath made a declaration, for he had the Spirit without measure. He hath made a declaration, and that declaration was God. You follow me? For the Son of God hath declared God. So then what does a preacher do? Every person since Jesus has had a measure of the Spirit. Some men's measure are greater than others. According to their measure, they declare God. I guess one of the greatest measures we ever had was Brother Branham. I think most everybody will agree to that. He declared God in his measure. But Jesus declared God without measure. So then, when you say declaring God by measure, that means that it is incomplete. But when you speak of the Son of God who declared God without measure, that means complete. Now, you say, well, Brother Pike, if that's true, then that means that the full measure of God is not declared to the people, but it is declared to the people. You say, how is it declared to the people? Through me and you and him and her. Every one of them receiving a measure that we are all ordained to the full measure of the full stature of Jesus Christ. Now you say, what does that mean, to the full measure of the full stature? It means that all of us collectively speaking, as the membership of the body of the church coming together, makes up the full measure to bring about the full stature, in that we're his stature, members of the stature, in that we're his body, all of us coming together. For that when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. I say, what do you mean by that? I mean that when we all come together in the unity of the Spirit, in the unity of the faith, when we all see eye to eye and speak the same thing and refuse to break ranks, that which is in part, by measure, in membership will be no more. Because part is swallowed up in completeness. And all of your part that you know or you knew will join with my part, and my part with your part, and our part with their part. And then we will know as we are known. Now, I believe that we're living in that hour. I believe that with all my heart. Now, I am convinced that inasmuch as God is a spirit and God is a declaration and the Son of God alone has declared him, and we are partakers of that declaration according to the measure that he has invested within us, inasmuch as he is a declaration, he is a spirit that must be declared to the human intelligence, then this makes me to understand that the kingdom of God is preached. So then the kingdom of God is a spirit, and the kingdom of God must be declared. It must be preached. Since that time, the Bible said, the kingdom of God has been preached, and men press their way into the kingdom of God. That means that you cannot see the kingdom of God, but yet it is being preached. Ever since the days of John, the law and the prophets ended. From that time, John lost his head, which indicated that the law was over. That there was no longer two heads. There was only one. Not that the law came from Satan, because it's holy. But Paul said that sin gets its strength by the law. All right, now, if it is a declaration and from Calvary, there is a complete changeover, then that means that we are, as individuals, partakers of a benefit that others were not partakers of in the past. Jesus said many great men have desired to see the things that you've seen and not seen them. A lot of people get puffed up and they feel like that means that they desire to know a lot about the scriptures and understand a lot about what the Lord said. But what God was speaking of was coming into the knowledge of the benefits that they prophesied of in years gone by. They desired to enter into this day, to come into this day of the benefits of what they had spoke of. In other words, to the spiritual understanding wherein the knowledge of eternal God is made known to humanity in the earth. For the Bible said, now is made known the manifold wisdom of God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, that was in the days of Paul it was made known. That is true. After Calvary. It wasn't made known until after Calvary when Jesus came and declared it. But it is true. It was made known in the days of Paul. But Paul said in his day, it is a mystery. So then it was out of season. It's not lawful for me to speak these great things. But he said it's still made known to the church. And God said to John, said, seal it up, John. Just like he did Paul, seal it up, Paul. Even in the days of Daniel, seal it up till the end time, Daniel. Seal it up. That didn't mean that they didn't see it, but it meant that God never allowed them to understand it, nor the times, nor the seasons. And by it being sealed up, it indicated that they would not remember the things that were said. A lot of times the Holy Ghost gives me things, but he seals it up. I can't remember it. But at that time when I need it, the Bible teaches that he will bring it to my remembrance whatsoever he has taught me, and I've had him to do it many times. He knows the time. He knows the occasion. He knows the season when it's needed. And so then he speaks through us. He brings it to our remembrance. And God, who is a spirit, takes a human brain and moves in that human brain. I brought it out here a number of times of the three spirits that uses the human brain, of Satan, of God, and of man's spirit. All right, now, if God is a declaration, if God is a message, if God is a spirit that has veiled himself in the form of human utterance and expression, if that is God, and the only way that God can get to my spirit and make my spirit one with his spirit is through my human intelligence, then it is necessitated in life that somebody preach the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the message, by the word of God, which is God the eternal spirit. My words are spirit, Jesus said, they're alive. They're only in a printed page or an intellectual veil that it might be conveyed to your human intelligence by vocal expression, which is called the ministry. Now, if that is true, then that makes me also to understand this. You know, when you find the mind of God, you find the spirit of God, you find the way of God, nothing is fuzzy anymore. Nothing is complicated anymore. Nothing is in darkness anymore. Everything, it's a channel. It just opens up. And it's so beautiful. So beautiful. You understand the scriptures doesn't conflict. They don't cross each other. You don't find yourself warring with your fellow man over some theory that you've got in your heart. Now, if what I've said is true, then it makes me to understand another scripture. And the scripture there makes me to understand another scripture. And that scripture explains the other scripture. Line upon line and precept upon precept. If what I have stated is true, that God is a declaration, God is a message, God is a spirit, Jesus has declared him, then that makes me to understand what he meant when Paul said comprehend the heights. It's got to be a comprehension. I want you to listen real close and you'll see how that down through the ages men have missed what God has tried to bring to them. Mark, I don't believe you can tell me. Well, you need to get up and go home. Why darken the doors of those who have wisdom with your ignorance? Now, God speaks through humanity. And Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. The Bible speaks in the days of Job. Who is this that darkeneth counsel without knowledge? Now, if this is true, that God is a declaration, that God is comprehended, it explains why that men have missed eternal life down through the ages when it comes to the redemption of the body. It sounds vainly puffed up. Some of you don't believe it. You won't ever believe it. But it's true that I have discovered the eternal life of God, the redemption of the body, and I know why they missed it and why we're not going to miss it. I know because God showed me and told me. That's why that I don't feud and fuss with the others. I let them feud and fuss like a bunch of children among themselves. It's like Brother Branham said one time. Brother Branham said Moses did not have time to go down in Egypt and split theological hairs with those people down there about what was right and wrong. He had a job to do for God. So I'll let the rest of them worry about all of that and let them fuss about that, and I go on with God. Now, but there's one thing for sure. I'm taking my time to explain it the best that I know how this morning to bring an entrance into what I would like to say. It requires much study, much diligence, much understanding to be able to get into a matter and thoroughly comprehend it. Take our brother Michael in electronics, in the atomic side of it. It takes a lot of time. He's got to devote time and effort and mental fatigue and strain to be able to get into another man's mind that discovered that and wrote that. The Bible said that the meat is for the strong. They who have by reasoning exercised their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. You understand what I'm saying? Take an individual that spent his life studying, like Brother Branham, lost all of his hair, like Brother Arthur back here and some of the others. Jimmy's about to lose all of his. Spend their lives studying, seeking. Those men have gotten into something. But there is a group that's coming up today that wants a sharp-looking suit, a Big Ten television program, to put on a show. They've never lost a hair for God as far as studying the Bible. And they're going to reject the truth of God's word and the knowledge of God's word and go on with some kind of show because they're young and flirty to some of those that follow them. And they're rejecting the truth and they're losing the life that they think that they've got. And the devil uses them to blind the people because they're young and full of life. They couldn't do that to Ruth. Amen. I remember Ruth. They couldn't do that to Ruth. Y'all, a lot of young men danced around about her. But her passions didn't get excited. She kept thinking about a millionaire that had plenty of security for her and her children. She was looking behind the scenes. She knew something was there. She had done had the youthful side of it, the lust. It had led it off down there somewhere. And there she was without a home. You follow me? So then it takes some time with God. It takes some fasting, some praying, some studying. God took Paul away for many years in the desert. Moses away for many years in the desert. It takes some studying, some praying, some seeking God to be able to come up with something. Not a yay daughter, yay son, you're this and you're that, and all of that leads to nothing. Once in a while, God might speak to a young man, you know, to encourage him to go on into the things of God. But aside from that, he needs to follow leadership. There's just probably hundreds of preachers on the field today that needs to follow leadership instead of being out there. Right now, to comprehend, the meat is for the strong who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to comprehend. To be able to comprehend God and the things of God. Why does the Bible use the term to comprehend? Because God God is a spirit. You preach the word and people hear the word. And the Bible said, take heed how that you hear. Take heed how that you hear. When Brother Pike says something, don't sit on the bench like a devil, trying to pick everything he says apart. Take heed how that you hear. God will get upset with you and turn you over to reprobate mind unless you believe a lie and be damned. You'll get to believing you're right. Nobody will be able to tell you that you're wrong. Take heed how that you hear. Have a spirit of love, a spirit of understanding. You say, well, I'm afraid I'll be deceived. Well, you don't have anything to start with. Anybody that can be deceived ain't got nothing to start with. The Bible said to deceive the very elect if it was possible. If you ain't got no more confidence than that in your Christianity, you need to back up and get started over. So then, God isn't going to let one of them be lost. Jesus said, I'm not lost to one of them, Father. Everyone you give me, I'll raise him up in the last days. So we can hear with a spirit of love. We can take heed how that we hear. We can give the more earnest heed to the things that we heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So then, if it is a divine comprehension of a divine declaration that was made by a divine person called Jesus Christ, then we need to listen. We need to understand. We need to reason and exercise our senses to be able to understand and discern what God is saying. Now, this makes me to understand what God meant when he spoke through the mouth of John. When he spoke through the mouth of John, he said, and the light shined in the darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. If God is to be comprehended, and Paul said the way in is to comprehend heights, depths, and width, then it means when God pours out his grace upon everyone, and that they that sit in the region of the shadow of death, great light is springing up to them. And that light is a knowledge. And that Paul said it's the eyes of our understanding that is enlightened. And he said concerning the darkness, if your eye be single, which means not being double-minded. And that the Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let not that man think he receive anything of God. You understand what I'm saying? If his eye of understanding be single, then his whole body is full of light. But if the light that is within you be darkness, and there is a dark light, how many know that there's a knowledge of darkness? You understand what I'm saying? Like, for instance, we used this term the other day. You see my hand? My hand is not in darkness. The reason is because your eyes are adjusted to the conditions of this building. But if you don't believe that there is a light that's greater than what you see on my hand, walk to the door and stick your hand in the sunlight and see the difference in it. Look at the light coming in this door here. Or over here, how it divides the shadows. That means that there is a dimensional thing with God. Eyes of understanding being enlightened. And one place might be light to you, but it might be darkness to somebody that's got up higher. In the first heaven, you might have some light. In the second heaven, the man that's looking down, it might be darkness to him. As a matter of fact, God, who is in the third heaven, is looking down upon the first place where Satan is, and he calls it darkness. That's right. Somebody said, calling heaven darkness? He called the heaven darkness. Oh, isn't that wonderful? God can call the heaven darkness. God, who is so great in light that even the heaven is dark to him. God, who is so righteous, said that he found folly in his angels and charged them with folly and cast them out. You follow me? That's why we're redeemed through grace. There's nothing we could do. If the angels are great in power and might, have righteousness, and God rejected them, how can we be accepted except through the blood atonement? We who live in houses of clay. So then, the great light. The darkness comprehended it not. Why? Because when light comes, darkness flees away into nothing. What kind of darkness is he speaking of? Human intelligence. That which comes from the fall of the garden is called darkness. That is a spirit. That is a light. But it is a dark light. And that light is in the minds of humanity.
There's just enough light in there to reflect life. And that life that's reflected is just enough that a world can be built out here where that great superior spirit, that power of Satan, who's transformed himself into an angel of light, he's getting just enough light to where he can reflect that light to the earth and through that light rule and control and set up a government and take over all of God's creation. We'll get to it in just a few minutes if you've got time to listen, explain it. Now then, what is the trouble? What is the complication? The darkness can't comprehend the light. Talk to an educational person. They're the hardest people in the world to get over to. The Bible said not many mighty are called. Some of them are called, but not many of them. So you can't get over to them. They've got too much intellectual reasoning. What you say is foolishness to them. Whereas God said he chose the foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. He said since they didn't know God by their knowledge and by their wisdom, it pleased God that through the foolishness of preaching that men should be saved. And it says even the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. What is the foolishness of God preaching? But that's wiser than their wisdom. And that's the Lord's form of God. In the sense of expression, is preaching. Now, what I'm saying, children of God, is this. There is a light that must be comprehended. That light is a knowledge. That light is a God intelligence. And that light is contrary to your understanding. That's when the Bible said, lean not to your understanding. When a person is strong-willed, strong-spirited, they'll never get into the things of God. They've got to become like a dove, gentle. Realize that they know nothing and that they are nothing. And he that thinketh himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. And the Bible said when you think you know something, you don't know something as you ought to know. And that is that God gives more grace to the humble that you need to humble yourself. Stop them. There is a light that is breaking forth. Look at the bright sunlight on the outside of this building. My, what a beautiful light. What a beautiful brightness. But yet we have light in here. We have light from many lights that combine their efforts to give us light. And we are grateful for that light because that's the only light we got in here. But brothers and sisters, it's the same way in your human temple. You're grateful for what light you got. But if you could get out of your mental frame of mind concerning the world and get into God's mind and the eyes of your understanding become enlightened, it would be like you walked out of this building into the sunlight. The Bible said in that day, even the sun, when he speaks of the sun and moon, shall be sevenfold. Which means that every church age messenger down through the seven church ages, that what he said plus what he said plus what he said will be the former and the latter rain all together. And that little form of light that peeped through back there as the law, which was through the veil in the latter times, will be the latter light of the latter house, which is grace, the light of the world, and be the greatest thing that people have ever seen. So then, it is a true fact that the light now shineth. I like the way the prophet said that. He said the true light now shineth. John said we've held it with our hands. Oh, we've seen it. At last, he said the light shineth. The true light. We've seen a lot of lights, dark lights, all kind of lights. But he said, brethren, at last, the true light shineth. Hallelujah. Why at last? Because it shall come to pass in the end time. There shall be light. For them that stand in the reasons of the shadows of death, great light is sprang up. And the light shined in the darkness. That is, the knowledge of God came in among men's intelligence. The light shined in the darkness. But the intellectuals couldn't understand it. They said, the Bible's a bunch of foolishness. I can't understand it. It contradicts itself. So they set them up a Baptist and a Methodist and a Church of God and a Pentecostal and this and that. Everything. And they rejected the cornerstone. The builders did. All of them went their own way. And I know that God has used them and God has put the children through school. But God has brought that to an end. Now, so the darkness never did comprehend the light. Because the darkness can't comprehend the light. But this great light, what is it? It's a third dimensional light. It's the light of the third heaven shining down from up there. That light that's coming from yonder's world, coming down, the great sunlight that strikes the earth with its shadows because it has to go by the way of the moon. Follow me? But God said one day the middle wall of partition would be taken out. That great light of his understanding that's from within that tries to get to this body outside. To light it up and to glorify it, to make it radiant. It has problems because it has to go by the way of that natural mind of yours and mine. And as it shines through it, all I can get is the tides and the shadows. But they're going to pass away. And God is going to bring the tide. That true light will shine. There won't be any shadows. At high noon when that sun comes down upon you and me, it comes down and the shadows are under our feet. In the early morning when I'm walking and the sunlight is behind me, my shadow's in front of me. And it's been said that you can get that shadow out of proportion. You can't tell exactly what I look like. But by that shadow, you can get some idea. The darks and shadows can give you some idea. They're a little out of proportion. But if I keep walking, the Bible said, walking in the light as he is in the light, ye will have fellowship one with another. One way that people know that they've left the light of God is when they cannot have fellowship with God and with God's people. When you get to picking men apart and finding fault and this, that, and everything, you go back to the law. You strengthen Satan, and you get in the carnal mind. You break fellowship. You're not walking in the light. But when you get in the grace of God, and you say, Father, grace, grace, sovereign grace, not to allow for my mistakes. A lot of people, you know, they'll be just as dirty as an old pig that wallowed in the waller hole. You go to say something to them, they'll say, well, bless God, this is grace. And they'll push on and watch television. Do those kind of things. Somebody else come by and they'll condemn him to death. Oh, so-and-so done so-and-so, and the Bible says. But brother, you got that thing in reverse. You should say, God, I want to use grace for a cloak of maliciousness. To cover up my sins. But God's grace for my brother. God's grace to my brother in my sight. He let me understand his faults and his failures. And love him the way God loved him. Like the woman wrote the song, he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. That's Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. You can tell if Christ is in you. The nature of Jesus Christ is always the same. He looks beyond your faults and he sees your need. Christ will rebuke you. Christ will reprove you. Christ will tell you your wrongs. But then he'll put his arms around you and love you. And say, that's my brother. He's mine. So then, it is well said, he that looks for somebody without fault, it's a good possibility he'll never have a friend. Now, what should I do about grace in my own life? How should I feel? I should say, thank you, Lord, for grace that took away my sins at Calvary. But no, Lord, I'm not going to use grace for my mistakes. I'm going to quit making mistakes, God, and live right. And not take advantage of the grace of God to a cloak of maliciousness. And be grateful that when you do stumble and you do stagger, that the grace of God has covered it. That's the way it's supposed to work.
Now, so the light from the third heaven is shining through.
Hallelujah.
I feel the Holy Ghost. The light from the third heaven is shining through. Breaking through. Somebody said, well, I don't. Well, God help you if you don't. Amen. As you come through, God have mercy on your wretched soul. Because it's wretched, bound and naked. How much that just makes me worse. I know, because the Bible said God hardened Pharaoh's heart so he could destroy him. Can he walk away? God will put out of his kingdom everything that offends. And then it'll all flow together and the nettles will be gone. Oh, hallelujah. So then from the third heaven she comes beaming down. From up yonder she comes beaming down from glory. And we see it breaking through each little measure and each little shadow as we push it back. And from glory to glory, we walk in the light of the Lord. Hallelujah. Like when I was up in the mountains, some of you have heard me express it. Up in the Carolinian mountains, I went way up on this hill. And God showed me the revelation of three people being dead. Told Brother Woodruff, way out in the mountains. Then the Lord said, you see that little trail? And I looked, and it was just a little bitty trail way out in the wilderness. A trail that was made many, many years ago. Why, horse and buggy couldn't even get in there to it, let alone a car. And I looked, and the imprints of it were still in the earth. Where the old buggy had traveled, maybe a stagecoach, whatever it was. Made an old tourist wagon. But I looked, and the little dogwood trees had grown up over it all the way down the trail. The light was beaming through from heaven. Leaves were all over the ground. The trail was about covered. The Lord said, walk up that trail. I started walking up that trail, and I walked by myself. Right along by myself, and I walked, and I walked. And as I walked, I saw shadows would fall all over me. And then I see it sprinkle me with light. And I see the light coming through the leaves. And then the shadows. And then the light. And then the leaves. And then the shadows. And light right on to the top. And after a while, I got way up that trail. I got toward the top of the mountain. And when I did, all of a sudden, I stepped out of the little trail, stepped into the glorious light. The glorious sun was beaming down. There wasn't a shadow anywhere. God said to me, I said, oh Lord, this is so rich. He said, yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death. Hallelujah. Thy rods and staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of in me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the light, that's just a fragment of what he showed me that day. Because it was another mountain and some other things took place that very day. But here, the light must be comprehended. How can I comprehend it? I can't comprehend it in my mind. I can't comprehend it in my ability. I've got to comprehend it through Christ. Christ's mind is the one that comprehended it. He comprehended the heights and went all the way up to the throne of God. Said, this is the heights. He comprehended the depths. And went all the way down to the bottom of hell. He comprehended the length and studied from everlasting to everlasting. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He comprehended the width and said, Lord, I come in the volume of the book, O God, as it is written of me to do thy will. And realize it was the will of him that had sent him. So then,
That light is shining through. Songs of hallelujah, the song said. The light is shining through. What is that light? John said that light is life. Oh, I want life. I'm looking for life. Scientists are looking for life. Everybody's looking for life. Where is life? That light is life. That light is life. That light is life. Hallelujah. Life. Life to this body. Life to this soul. What does he mean? And the intellectuals could not comprehend it. But we comprehend it. The darkness comprehended it not. But we, through the mind of Jesus Christ, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Me and my Father are one. Why do you say that, Brother Pike? Because Jesus said, Father, make them one. And I believe God did what Jesus asked him to do. My Father and I are one. He that's seen the Son has seen the Father. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that when somebody sees me, they've seen the Father. Well, you ought to do better. It ought to be. Now, somebody said, but a man can't live that holy. I didn't say he could. But the Bible said God is sanctified forever. 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 Is that right? Once and for all, God has sanctified us by the body of Jesus Christ. I believe that sanctification is good from now on. Once and for all, God has sanctified us by the offering up of the blood of the body of Jesus Christ. Through the faith of Jesus Christ by which you're sanctified. Is that right? And God is perfected forever. Coming back after a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. What kind of a church? One that has been perfected forever. Not only that, but I learned something else too. You know, you can't comprehend till you understand, can you? That's why there's a preacher. Somebody said the preacher's going to stop you from chewing and dipping and spitting. No, the preacher is coming to perfect your faith by preaching the word. God perfected you by the blood. But you receive your perfection by comprehension of the preaching of the benefits. For when the lawyer reads the will, then you know what you have from your Father. So then, who are we? Jesus said, you're gods. How do you feel like a god this morning? How could you be a thing less than a god? Said so many times, if a cat begets cats and deers begat deers and God begot gods. And we're begotten of the Spirit. We are sons of God. Jesus said, you are gods. Can you give me a few more minutes? Well, let's look at it. There's some things present day I want to speak about, but it's going to take a few more minutes for me to say it. Now, look at it. We should have this mind within us that was in Christ Jesus. Now, come on, folks. What kind of mind was that? That mind said, me and my Father are one. Can you tell it to me this morning? Me and my Father are one. That's the same mind he had. Hallelujah. I feel good, 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 as Bobby says. That makes me feel better. Somebody believe what I said, now feel even better. Because I can feel the Spirit quickening to you. So then, what makes me to live eternally? Having that mind. Having that mind. If I get that mind, Paul said, pray that God will give unto you the spirit of revelation. Do you have the spirit of revelation? If you don't have the spirit of revelation, you need the spirit of revelation. What is the spirit of revelation? The mind of Christ. All things are made known unto me. Oh, somebody said, well, wait a minute, Brother Pike. Oh, yes, I know all things. Oh, wait a minute, where do you get that? Because I got the same mind he has. What did he say? And that which my Father has made known unto me, I have made known unto you. He giveth the Spirit without measure unto the Son. His glory he will not give to another. But we are not another. We are born of his blood and flesh of his flesh. Jesus said, glorify thee, Father, with the glory I have with thee before the world ever was.
That's why he said he is sanctified. He hath perfected forever.
Amen. And he is glorified.
Hallelujah. That's the reason, Brother Wilson, he dances every once in a while, you know. Amen. You know, if I dance, somebody say, ah, oh, there it is. I know he didn't have it. So I just kind of hold it back, you know. And then when I get home, oh, hallelujah. So I get both sides of the cake. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. All right, let's look at it for just a few minutes. Now, comprehend. How can I be saved from death? How can I? Old Brother Paul said, to wit. Somebody said, I'm waiting for the translation. Well, it's here. It's here. Brother Taylor said, it's here. It's here. Amen. And I'll tell you what, not only is it here, but if you want to, you can come up here where I'm at. Amen. How? Because the voice said, John, come up hither. There's a door open in heaven. Ever since Calvary, there's been a mind that's a door between God the Spirit and mankind. And through that door, your thoughts can be translated, and your thoughts is your spirit, your mind, you. And when that inner you comes to that Christ spirit of revelation, you intermingle, and it is like you walk through the walls and go right through into the presence of the great light. A transformation just like the atoms intermingling and passing each other. So then, what does it mean? It means that I've already been translated. I'm not waiting for the translation. Somebody said, Brother Pike, aren't you waiting for the translation? No, my dear brother.
No.
If I was waiting for the translation, then I would repent of my sins. And I'd go and get translated. Amen. I'm not waiting for the translation. The Bible said Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. I've been translated by faith that I should not see death. And passed from death unto life. I'm not in this world. God tells me out of this world. I'm not in the flesh. Because he said if I was, I couldn't please God. I'm in the spirit. I am born of the spirit. I am spirit. I'm in the spirit. I'm in heaven. Here with Christ. In God whom the heavens have received. Until the time of the restitution, the restoring, the millennium, all things. So then what is it? I've been translated. Oh, somebody said, where? For the Bible said, for God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. Have you in the kingdom this morning? The Lord and the prophets and the John, since then the kingdom came. Now pray, Father, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do you pray that prayer? Your kingdom has come. It's within the hearts of men. And I'm praying, Father, let your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And old John saw the tabernacle of God come down among men. And old brother John said, look yonder, yonder's brother Taylor, the tabernacle of God walking among men. And old brother Peter answered back and said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle. Have you believe you're the temple to the Holy Ghost? God walks in you. He tabernacled in the body of the Lord Jesus. In his fullness. Tabernacles in you in measure. But all together with the fullness. Because when all the members get together, that takes care of the body. And then the body gets together with the head. And that takes care of everything. Isn't that right? Oh, I feel good. Hallelujah. All right, let me get on just a few minutes here. Don't you get tired and leave me. All right, now. If it's a comprehension, then what did Paul mean when he said, to wit, the bar mitzvah, which the Jews call the adoption? To wit, the redemption of the body. Under the tutors and the governors till the time appointed, the bar mitzvah, which the Jews call it, that is the public adoption of sonship, to declare the man to be the son, it was already the son, for John said, now, beloved, are ye the sons? Declaring his power and authority when he already had power over death and all the powers of the enemy, for you shall receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The original rendering says when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If you want to explain it away by saying after means wait a while. Now, so then to comprehend. For me to comprehend, I do comprehend it. That's why I get excited. But some others don't comprehend it, that's why they don't get excited. And Brother Branham said it's the stimulation of revelation. It's the anointing of God. Paul said, change from glory to glory. Every time I see something come out of the shadows, I say, oh, glory to God. There's another glory coming. And the inspiration hits me. And I'm changed from glory to glory. And to the glorious image of God. From faith to faith that cometh by the hearing of the glory to glory. The word, the spirit, the life, the glory. I'm changed into his image. There's so much we could say on that this morning about the man, the wife. But we got a tape on it somewhere. But I want to get to something else. So then, to wit, to wit, to wit. Somebody said, boy, he's a witty old goat. They use those expressions. So don't mess with him. He's a witty old goat. Somebody said, Brother Pye, I'm at my wit's end. But I'm talking about another wit. To wit. If that old goat can be witty, and if you can get to your wit's end, then I must be able to use some wits, because I have some wits, to wit the redemption of my body. That is the good message someday somewhere that tells me what it is. And then to understand it and to believe it and to redeem it from corruption. I found it. Somebody said, oh, I don't believe. I can't help but I still found it. The Bible said, can your unbelief make the face of God of no effect? The Word said we'd find it. Said, keep searching and you'll find the knowledge of God. I found it. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to look at something for just a minute. To wit, to comprehend, to come to the understanding of that it was before the world ever was. And it was made our benefits at Calvary. And God has waited to the end time. Through the church ages, we have wit, we have comprehended, we've come to. And the angel said, when the thunders uttered their voices, what was it he said? What was it? I want to get to that in just a little bit. Let's go back for just a minute. Will you stay a few more minutes? Let's go back to the days of Solomon. I want to prove something here. The Bible said, prove all things. How many believe in proving things? Hold fast that which is good. I want to prove something. Let's go back to the days of Solomon. 975 B.C., that's way back in before Calvary. Is that right? Way back there. In the days of Solomon, at the dividing of the throne, when Jeroboam, in the days of Ahijah the prophet, when Jeroboam came on the scene, Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, took the throne. Way back there. There was a split because Rehoboam listened to the young people instead of listening to the ancient. And the Bible said wisdom is with the ancient. Jeroboam said your dad was too hard on the people. Said if you'll be easier on them, they'll follow you. But God prepares man's heart. Them types and shadows would not come unless he had a counsel with the youth. So then what was said, he counseled with the youth. And he told him, my little finger, so to speak, will be thicker than my father's loins. He's chasing you with whips, I'll chase you with scorpions. And Jeroboam got angry and 10 tribes listened to him. The Bible said he took 10 tribes. Think about that. Left 2 tribes in Israel, took 10 of them away, took them away down into Samaria and into Syria. They went away. 10 tribes. They wouldn't come up to Judah. I want you to listen. They wouldn't come to Judah to offer sacrifice. Jeroboam was afraid that Rehoboam would win them back. He said, oh, you don't have to go up there. In other words, he was lying in his pocketbook. So he built them an altar. He said, you just offer sacrifice down here. And so they did. Then how many remember Josiah? He come along and he prophesied against that altar. I mentioned it here the other night. Reigned from the 8 years old for 31 years. Reigned. Josiah tore down that altar. Many years later, destroyed the ruins of it. Took the bones of Jeroboam and burned them. According to the prophetical utterance of the prophet, that was destroyed by the lion as he went out the gate because he disobeyed God, turning aside with another fellow that said he was a prophet. I remember the story of it. We could go into the particulars. Jeroboam's child got sick, went down to the prophet Ahijah. And his wife feigned herself to be another woman. The old prophet's eyes already gone out. Now, running. But when she came up on the door, on the floor of that sheet, the old blind prophet said, come in, thy wife of Jeroboam. How do you believe Jesus Christ is staying yesterday, today, and forever? Like you've heard me tell, I was shaving one day down in Macon, Georgia, inside the bathroom. I was just shaving away, and all of a sudden I got slow and slow to get think. The Lord said, there's a certain man outside of your door. He's looking for you. I told my wife, I said, brother, such and such is out there looking for me. In a little while, he came to my door. And he said, I've been looking for you, going from house to house. I said, yeah, I know it. Jesus Christ the same. You don't have to see with your eyes. Ahijah was blind. But he knew by spiritual understanding that was the wife of Jeroboam. He said, come here now, wife of Jeroboam. He said, that baby you're worried about is going to die. So when you get back to the city, you're going to die because of the sins of Jeroboam. Isn't that right? 975, and then in a little while, 606, God raises up Babylon, and they come in there and they swept over them. They took Judah away. 721 and 606, just before the going away into Babylon of Judah, the others went away into Assyria and become the lost tribes. Continued for 70 years, according to the prophet's word, in which time old brother Daniel was raised up down there. Daniel saw a vision. God gave him the 70 weeks and told him of the restoration and of the days of the Antichrist, which is in our day. Of Revelation 10, says, see that, Daniel, until the time of the end. Then there'll be revelation. Right now it's just sealed in the veil under the law. But in that day, the church will have the mind of Christ. And in the mind of Christ is the manifold wisdom of God. That's in the heavenly places. It's now made known to the church. But Daniel, as long as it's in your natural mind, sit it up, son, till the Spirit of God comes, and then the veil shall be rent in twain. Oh, behold the mighty conqueror. Oh, behold him in plain view. Oh, he is the mighty conqueror because he rent the veil in two. Now, so then, Daniel, look. And he saw the thing taking place. The time went on by. A lot we could say about that, but I want to make a point here. The time went on by. They continued to be split up. 10 tribes and 2 tribes. And then when the 70 years was ended, 445, the month of Nisan, 445 BC, the days of King Artaxerxes. Nehemiah was sad, fasting, seeking God, didn't know what to do. God had prepared his heart to moan. He was mourning because of the homeland, the walls, that's so beautiful over there that Sister Betty and I saw a few months ago in Jerusalem. But they were torn down. And he was mourning. The old king said, Nehemiah, what's wrong with you? You've always been a good servant. Something's eating at you. What's the matter with you? And he told him, said, my father's house, it lays waste. And he said to him, he said, go over there to the king's forest, tell him to give you whatever you want to. Build it back. An old Sanballat, he got upset, you know. Get you a half-breed and he'll always get upset. You go to building the walls back with the lively stones and trying to bring up the priesthood of God. You start taking the record of his name and on it. Because he's a half-breed. You leave him out of the picture. And he gets upset. Lukewarm won't go in and won't go out. Stand at the gate. And every move God makes, he said, nah, that ain't it. But that old prophet said, you better get out of the way. I hear abundance of rain. There's coming a great revival. And them hungry people are going to trample you to death. Get out of the way. Somebody said, yeah, the old fellow Lynn over on the king said, yes, that if he made winners in heaven, that could be. The Bible said, chime me herewith, I'm going to make some winners in heaven. Pour you out a blessing you can't receive. And the Bible said the words of the prophet came to pass and they trampled the man to death. So they built the walls back, but they still stayed divided. Coming on down, they stayed divided, all the time divided. Why? Because God made it that way. And we could take up a lot of time going back through the ages, even after Calvary, and show where the division came in, how that they were divided. The Western world, the Eastern world, divided in religion all the way down. We got it on tape somewhere where we bring it out and give the dates on it. Divided. Until they come over to 325 A.D. Then they brought in the Nicene Creed. Things happen. A little later on, split up. One leg went one way and one leg went another. That old image. Now, about 365. Notice now, when it come over to America, what happened then? We got a Republican and a Democrat. I want to bring it down to homeland now. A Republican and a Democrat stayed split up. Why did they stay split up? The 10 tribes had taken on another head. 975 AD, they got another head, but it wasn't God's head. Somebody said, well, it was God's head too, Brother Pike. God was with them 10 tribes just like he was in two. It wasn't God's head. If it was God's head, then God's kingdom is divided. Because God sent a prophet down there from Judah to prophesy against it. That's the reason some people don't never get healed. They don't never get away from their troubles. They say, well, God has his way in everything. I'll just grin and bear it. God don't want you to grin and bear it. God wants you to try that spirit by the word. If the word says it's not of God, it's not of your benefits. It's not your condemnation. It's a parasite that's sapping the life out of you. God didn't say entertain him. He said resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, I feel better, don't you? The anointing will break the yoke. Truth will set you free. Faith in it. So then what was it? They come right on down, step by step, Democrat and Republican. And then we got over here, and what happened? Here goes A.A. Allen. Great big meeting. Why? Because you got 10 tribes. Poor little old Judah. Here goes Brother Branham. Judah ain't got many followers. Why? Because it's just two tribes. Like Brother Branham got upset one time because he didn't have very many people, and he said, if you'd have known the day of your visitation, this place had been filled up. It hurt him. Hey, Alan, packing the arenas out. Billy Graham packing the arenas out. The Pope packing the arenas out. Got out in Tucson, Arizona. Remind you again now, Tucson twins. Out in Tucson, Arizona. You know they got old Tucson, they got new Tucson where the movie land is, right? Movies have to do with rapture. Tucson. Way out here in one place, Miracle, Arizona. All you have to do is just go down the highway, 666, or whatever it was, get your whole bucket full anytime you want. Handkerchiefs, miracles, blood marks, anything you wanted. Just go there and get some of them. Brother Branham wasn't having them by the bushels, but he was having some genuine miracles, some real truths. I went to A.A. Allen's tent, and he just had slews of them. Poor Brother Branham, I didn't see him like that in his meeting, but I did see some genuine things. Now, somebody said, you mean to tell me that A.A. Allen didn't have any genuine miracles? I believe there was some genuine miracles in A.A. Allen's meeting. I believe A.A. Allen was a good man when he started out. But in Atlanta, Georgia, when I stood up and prophesied in his meeting, and I told the people, I said, there's something wrong, you'll find it out in the day to come. And then later predicted Brother Allen's death, just before we come over here, and said it was near at hand then. Now, there was some real miracles. There was some real genuine believing. There were some people that really believed God. There were some real things that happened. But in the midst of all of that, there was some lying signs and wonders. But it still drawed the crowd. Why did it draw the crowd? I want you to listen. Why did it draw the crowd? I haven't got just a few more minutes. It's going to take a few more minutes to clarify this, and after this, you can crucify me. I know some of you will. Now, some people are like an old dog. He'll take every biscuit you give him and in turn bite your fingers because you ain't got no more. Then go vomit up what you give him and go back and lap it later. Now, but look at A.A. Allen. A lot of great things was done. People came to God. And the great A.A. Allen move went on. Under the tent, they danced. They jitterbugged. They done everything under it. But God was still with the innocent. Down in Samaria, they'd done all kind of things. Had a false leader, Jeroboam. But God was still there. He still watched after them. He sent a prophet every once in a while to tell them it's wrong. But they went right on doing what they wanted to do. Now you say, Brother Pike, why did that split come in 975? Now will you be spiritual? When God took the feminine part out of Adam, and the devil through the beast, through the tree of knowledge, got into Eve, then we had a two-headed freak. You understand? And the Shekinah glory of God wouldn't have nothing to do with a freak. So the Shekinah glory lifted from Adam. And whereas Adam had been the head and been real strong and able to control Eve, when the Shekinah lifted, Adam was a man and Eve was, she had the power of the devil in her understanding, and the angels are greater in power and might than men, so it took control of Adam. And thus it became a woman's world. Now listen, that's no reproach against the woman, just listen. The woman ain't a garbage can. The people that says that's the devil's. A woman's a precious thing, and the Bible said a virtuous thing, a holy thing, if she's the right person. But I noticed this. God had to let that happen. Adam rule over Eve. Because the woman was to be subject to the man. Since when does a man rule over a woman? Somebody said, well, bless God, I got mine. I know, I've heard that before. I've heard that before. Since when does a man? A man does, she does exactly what she wants to do when she wants to when she gets ready. Somebody said, well, mine does what I tell her. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. Tell the truth about it. She does what she wants to when you tell her. When she gets a good upset, she'll jump out of the car, smack you with a bottle, beat you with a pillar, slam the door, turn a flip, curse you, or stick out her tongue or anything at you. Somebody said, mine ain't never done that. You just didn't see her. Now I said, but I got a good wife, but the Bible said there's none good. And I said, but Mine's got Christ. He's good. Amen. None good but God. Every Christ thing you see in it, that's good. All right. What was it? It was the woman. Now look at it. Adam and Eve. What was going on? It was the man to rule over the woman. But in reality, who is the woman? The flesh. Is that right? Now, you have to make it look bad for the woman so that you can get that man on the hook. Because he's the woman. So then it is the flesh that does it. It is the flesh that pulls and steals and spits, beats and bangs and gossips. God said there's none of them good, no, not one. All of them has gone astray. Every one of them's turned to their own way. Brother me and brother you and brother him. All of them. Now, so there's none good but God. Who is God? The Word. Now, as in the days of Noah, all flesh is corrupted, as whether thoughts are continually evil. End of all flesh is here. God will destroy every bit of it. Only bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, which is the Word, will be spared. That's good. Now then, if Adam was to rule over Eve, then that means that Jesus, the second man, Adam, is to have control over the body. Is that right? The body isn't to have control over the Word, over the Spirit, but the Spirit control over the body. The natural world, it isn't to control the heavens, because it doesn't feed the heavens. The heavens feeds the earth. The man nourishes the woman as his own body. So it meant the feminine part had come out. Now, I made a statement recently. Why is men wearing long hair? Because it's typical of the redemption of the body. The feminine part has gone back into the man. And the long hair, Samson, the church ages, the strength is back to the church, which is the body upon the shoulders. They're coming out of the dungeon. The wilderness wandering is over. They're coming out of the fire. Try to zip a fire, the garment going to the fire. The body of Jesus Christ, the garment of the saints. Try to zip a fire. You follow me? The man getting his strength, the headship going back to the male, leaving the Western world of the United States, going back to the Jew. This government is collapsing. I brought it out the other night. It's falling apart. Hundreds of thousands of people are quitting. They're stopping on their income taxes, saying it's unconstitutional, and they're making it stick. How many? 20,000? Okay. I said hundreds of thousands. 20,000 has already proved it. Okay. 20,000. Hundreds of thousands of people will say then. That's headed in this direction, either with the income tax or something else, finding fault with the government and tearing it down. Everything is blowing apart. Now, what is the long hair? The redemption of the body. It's always perverted in the natural, because the natural always does what shows the spiritual. But what they do is in the natural, and it is perverted, because they're exactly contrary one to another. But it always shows in the perversion what is right in the spirit. So the church is the woman. The hair coming back on the shoulders. Why is the woman bobbing her hair off? To show the power of the Western world is over. The government is gone to be upon our shoulders, which the hair represents the authority and power of her husband, her control. And if she be shaven, she's naked. She don't have the Shekinah glory of God over the church. She's cut off her locks through the church ages. Let her grow back in the dungeon of Samson. It's life to bring back the strength. I ain't got time to lay all this out one step at a time. I got it on tape. You've heard it. But I want to refresh your memory on what I'm trying to say. So then, that woman, when she cuts her hair off, shaves her hair off. Like I said on one tape, she gets like the nun. She takes another covering in the Catholic Church. And God said they cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. It's a dark veil of death. An intellectual understanding. Instead of the mind of Christ, which is a true covering. The spirit of revelation. She cuts it off by her intellectual raising and rebellion. And the power of her husband, which is the government, the understanding, his mind. That's to control her spirit. His spirit, which is her strength, is gone. It's going back to the Jew because it's growing back on the male. The feminine part going in. Christ and the church becoming one. One head, one body. Many members. That which is perfect has come. Look at it. They stayed separated. Why? When God took that one out of the body of Adam, it showed that the body was unredeemed, that death had struck. And at Calvary, translating our inner spirit into the kingdom of God, leaving the Jews outside, taking the spiritual Jew into his love. But the natural Jesus, ahead to a natural nation of natural Jews, representing the woman and the body, and the corruption and the harlotry, wandered around out of the presence of God through the seven church ages. And I brought it out here that in the Old Testament, when the woman gave birth to her child, it took 7 days if it was a male child before she'd come back into the presence of her husband. And the headship born at Calvary, when it came forth from the bowels of the earth, when the earth travailed, and the headship broke through the spheres of this world and showed itself up yonder in heaven, it indicated that it had gone into the third heaven and broke from the matrix. And the angelic host of physicians, which is typified in the second realm of the physical dimension by the preachers, work with the membership of the body from Calvary under the rest of the child could come forth from the matrix. And at the end of them church ages, that angel declared the mysteries to be finished because we stand the last member in the cause of the baby. Was nothing mysterious about it anymore. It was born. And along with the headship, the membership was caught up. Then the Jews that gave birth to it, according to the woman standing on the moon, she came back to her husband because she was purified. Then comes the millennium. For the husband and the wife is one again. And the husband is the king on the throne and the wife is the head of the nations, working under his leadership, caught up to the throne. That is over the tribulation period to sit down on the throne. Now, you say, what do you mean by that? I mean that when A. Allen was out there, there was another head. There was another head. God's got one move. That's Judah. That's the revelation. That's the head of Christ. But because the woman is emotional, because the woman is tender, because God can't give everything to a woman like he can a man, he has to work with her a little at a time. When a man marries a woman, he doesn't just make her one with him then, but over a period of time, she resolves to become his wife. If she does away with her thinking a little at a time, he transformates her mind until she surrenders gradually. If he's an old beastly devil, he'll beat on her and knock her around, kick her, spit on her and everything else and call her evil names. If he's a devil or a beast, he'll do that, trying to make her submit to him all at one time. But treat her like Christ treated the church. It took seven church ages to work her in. So then he's trying to redeem the body. Present it to yourself as the church, as Christ did the church. A holy thing without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Work with her. Love her. And you understand what I'm saying? So then the redemption of the body. Jesus. The body was redeemed at Calvary, but we couldn't get the benefits of it because the woman is out of the presence of the husband for 7 days. Nebuchadnezzar, when he took him down to Babylon, said, cut down the tree, let seven times pass over, then it'll grow again. And old brother John came and said, this is a tree. So he cut out a tree and they hang him on it. For the Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree. They hewed down a tree and they made a cross. And they hanged Jesus on it to take off curse that was placed upon us. And all the sickness and evil away. No, John said, the axe is laid to the tree. Come down, let seven times pass over. Then I'll bring it back in the millennium and restore it in the government. The church age is fanned out over it. When the Jews come back, they'll do like Nebuchadnezzar. They all won't say, look what we done. They'll say, look what he done. We'll give the glory to Jesus. All right, I'm going to close you in just a few minutes now. But I got the thing rounded up to where I want to bring it to. Now look at it. Brother Allen, these other men, Brother Terrell, a number of them. I want you to notice something here. God finally brought up Brother David Terrell. I believe Brother Terrell loves the Lord. We had a part in leading him to baptism in Jesus' name, him and Brother Bobby Woodruff. I believe he loves God. But Brother Terrell started off in the Trinity. Why? I made a statement. I said the changeover has come. That out there with Alan was women. That was a woman thing. The woman's emotional. She shouts. She speaks in tongues. She's real emotional. Everybody said, go see it. Go see it. Why? The house is on fire. Go see it. Everybody goes. 10 tribes. Everybody runs down to see it. But that wasn't where the revelation was. They weren't supposed to be offering sacrifice there. That was the unredeemed body. Somebody said, well, the Spirit of God was there. The rain on the unjust. But that would never redeem the body. That was God being merciful to the weaker side of life. Trying to redeem it. For God so loved the body, the world, that in its precious, holy, upright condition, in the garden when the Shekinah glory was over it, and the bride wasn't there, he so loved it in that condition that he gave his life through the Son of God as a human being to redeem it and bring it back to that garden, which is the millennium out there. And told us during the period of time from the garden to the millennium, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. All of it be burnt up. And if I give you anything out of the world, then I'll sanctify it and hallow it to you. Honor the Lord with that. Now, this went on with Brother Allen. This went on with Brother Branham. The twins. You follow me? Twins. It continued on. But then when Brother Terrell came, God worked with the children, worked with the children. Let those leaders go on and let Jeroboam go on because he didn't want to wreck Israel. Didn't want to hurt Israel. Didn't want to make Israel bitter. But finally kept sending prophet after prophet till she got her eyes open. Now, when Brother Terrell came along, he began to switch over from Trinity because he'd seen Jesus' name. God allowed A. Allen's following to drop in there and he picked it up on the woman's side because he was a single man. Many women went after him. 7 to every one, every man. So here they followed after him. Then the time of the change come, which had to do with Brother Baldwin. I can't go into that. Brother Delman, Brother Calvin, all of you know what that is. It's on tape. The time of the change come. Now, what was that? Let's just look at a glimpse of it. When Brother Terrell come, what did he do? He closed out the William Branham ministry. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, you're crazy. I'm not crazy. Paul said, I'm not beside myself unless it's for God. I know what I'm talking about. When Brother Branham came, he said, the voice said, behold the Lamb. Right there in the same place where we baptized when we was over in Jeffersonville, Indiana. On Utica Pike. Now, he said, behold the Lamb when the pillar of fire appeared. As John said, behold the Lamb. Is John forerun the first, you'll take the message for the second. When Brother Terrell came, what did he say God said to him? Said to him, behold the Lamb. Brother Branham started it. Then we saw his death and predicted it in the early part of 65, whereas he died in the latter part of 65. He went out because God showed me the change when the angel of God came to us in the vision. When the change come, Brother Calvin Baldwin. My, there's so much to this, it would take a book. Amen. Brother Calvin Baldwin over in Olive Branch, Mississippi, where we just went to. If you had the tape we preached the other night, you'd understand more about what I'm saying now. Brother Calvin went with Brother Terrell. Brother Delmer went with us. But Brother Delmer was not with us. But he went with us. Because he was to represent what was happening. His heart was still with Brother Terrell. Brother Calvin was his cousin. I brought it out. I got it on tape about the spirit of Elisha coming back. The 6,000
1,000-mile trip. Brother Taylor remembers it. Even this little iron cradle right here that some of you think was foolish. Michael's little blanket. All of those little things we spoke about concerning the trip. But God dovetail Brother Branham's ministry out through Brother Terrell. And I told the brethren before it ever happened, that's the way it would go. Brother Terrell come along later and confirmed it by vision. I'm going to relate this vision again. Brother Terrell said that I saw a vision. Said God sent me away on a long fast. Said he sent Brother Branham away on a long fast. He said, but Brother Branham never returned. He said, but I returned. He said, when I returned, I looked. Said I saw a big flock of beautiful white birds. He said those birds was with Brother Branham, but they were full of thoughts. Then when he looked at them, said that Brother Branham never returned, and all of those birds came over to Brother Terrell. See, dovetailing it out, just like I said. And you remember the vision we had where I went to Brother Terrell in that vision about the ministry. Remember that? And how many of you know that Brother Terrell come up about this time and the world was going right after him, everybody going after him? And I said, Brother Terrell, God gave you a ministry of deliverance. Is that right? That was your ministry. But he changed over to a prophet ministry. To prove to you that he dovetailed Brother Branham's ministry out, he stood up and made the statement that he was the seventh angel. Now, why did he do that? He didn't do it till after Brother Branham's death. After Brother Branham's death, he made that statement and said those birds came to him. I predicted he would do it before he ever done it. And then when the birds came to him, what did Brother David Terrell say? He said, I took the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, what was my vision? I took the revelation of Jesus Christ and I said they were cleansed by the revelation of Jesus Christ and the spots went away. Somebody say, Brother Pike, do you believe I'm dumb enough to believe anything like that? I'll just let you think on that. All I know is it agrees with what William Branham said. Brother Branham said that he went away because God said your people at the tabernacle will not feed. That meant that ministry was over. Then he went to that big loaf of bread he saw. Come on, folks. And then he said he saw his followers come to him. He said across her was Miserous Methodist, and just like Brother Paul said, she was full of spots. She had on the white garment, but she was full of spots. Sounds like they're speaking the same thing. Now, we said he'd come out of the desert at a certain time, his ministry would be over. God would take him off the scene. Did he do it? Did he do it? Now, Brother Terrell, I made a statement that in this vision that he claimed the ministry that God gave me. Is that what I said? In the vision, he claimed the ministry that God gave me according to the vision. The vision showed that I went to him and told him he had done that. And in the vision, he received it. What was it? The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it was. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, you mean to tell me? I mean to tell you. That God gave me the revelation of Christ. And that revelation showed me the fall of Oral Roberts. The death of Brother Branham. The fall of other ministers that was on the field. The stopping of Billy Graham. It showed me the many ministers. Their death, their falls and the things that was happening to them. The different moves and still shows me what God's doing. Just like on this last trip, you can get the tape. Listen to it. On this last trip, you heard me speak the other night where that little dragon was thrown out of the window? What I said about Horn Lake and who was to come over yonder olive branch and what it had to do with? Is that right? What did it have to do with? Listen to the tape. It had to do with the coming of Satan. Are you listening? When we throw the dragon out the window, I told you what it had to do with the whole trip. Brother Wilson, the white tent, everything. Is that right? Somebody said, can you prove it? I said, the mark of the beast is at hand. That our ministry was killed, remember? Back yonder. But God brought it up. You see, our ministry, the ministry of William Branham, God brought it up with my brother that was brought out of the grave. At the same time he brought this ministry up, he brought the Antichrist up. He was also killed. In what? Kennedy wounded to death? Is that right? My brother died when Kennedy died. Brother Branham died. Is that right? Russia was laying right heavily in on us at Cuba. And I said Cuba was going to be the troublemaker. Is that right? They was ready to blow us off the map when Kennedy withstood them. All right, let's look and see if it's the same thing. I said this was exactly the same thing as it was then. And God laid it aside, gave the 10 years for the changeover. Let's see if that's right. I took my brother up out of the grave. Typical of a resurrection. I've called my son out of Egypt. I brought him over here. Is that right? 13 years had gone by. Then what happened? Jimmy Carter, who I said had to do with Kennedy, that looked like Kennedy. And they proved him to be a Kennedy, a bastard guy. Come on. Couldn't enter into the congregation of the righteous under 14 generations. I'm speaking of types, not against Jimmy. You follow me? Now, what was it? 13 years? 14? I just don't understand. Now, look at it and see. Jimmy Carter come up, what was it? The deadly wound healed. The Kennedys wounded in the head. The healing coming back under another name. Even Ted Kennedy said he'd stand behind him. What's that got to do with it? Somebody said that's coincident. Why is it that when my brother went out, Kennedy went out, when my brother come up out of the grave and was brought over here in a type of resurrection, Jimmy Carter come up in a type of the resurrection of Kennedy? Why was it Brother Branham went out at the same time, said the next time I'll come to your place for the pipe? And I said, Brother Branham, if there's anything I ever wanted, it would be a double portion of what you got. He said, take the handkerchief. And then I had the vision, made the trip, and I looked up and the spirit of Elijah come upon us. I said, a broom came down out of heaven at that time to sweep the earth. Is that right? At the time the spirit of Elijah come upon us. I said, this meeting had to do with it. Is that right? This past meeting? Come on, are you listening? What was the statement that Jimmy Carter said in a big picture in the writings on there? Said, I'm going to take a broom and sweep the White House. He's going to do more than that. He's going to take a broom to sweep the earth. The vision I saw was a world government, not just sweeping the White House. But it shows the change of the government from Washington over to Atlanta, Georgia. Somebody said, Worth Pike, where do you get that? Because when he come back up, if Brother Branham died, then Brother Branham came back up. I said, this time that they go to Jeff, he'll come up, but they won't see him. Why? Because Brother Branham said they'll make a denomination out of their walk in 3 years, and this third pull will move right through him, and he'll never see it. Isn't that right? Are they seeing it? No. Now, I said that Kennedy had to do with the beast, the resurrection.
I said, that's the mark of the beast coming in behind us. And what happened? I said, it's at hand. As quick as I got back here, what did they do? I said, this is the new world. They brought me that little Santa Maria ship. They discovered the new world. Charles, 13 years, 13 colonies. The woman standing on the moon, there was the 13 stars. Somebody said, 12. 12 on her head. 12 on her head. But Paul was the 13th. He had the revelation. What was that? They saw his star in the east, the day star. The revelation is his star, my brother. When the night gets dark, then his star comes up. I said, all the other lights should be out by 70. Wouldn't be nothing there but his star. It's the evening and the morning. When the light goes out in the Western world, it comes up as the evening star. It rides on through the tribulation period. And over there, when the morning of the Sabbath day comes, bright and early, you look and there is his morning star. The same one. The wise men said it's his star. No other star at that time. There ain't no other ministry at that time. Somebody said, this minister, that minister, there. No, sir, no ministry except the revelation of Jesus Christ. I predicted that years ago. Because in that day, he alone shall be exalted. Christ himself, the revelational star that the wise men saw. And the wise men will still see it. Now, the darkness coming in. That's denoted by Jimmy Carter and the black man following. The Jews typify God in the night, and the black man represents the Jews in this third dimensional setting. The government changing from the White House, which represents light, to Atlanta, Georgia, a modern Babylon that represents Rome. Darkness. Let's just look at it for a few minutes and see. Somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, but it's true. What's true? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul had it. John had it. I've got it. Now somebody said, you mean to tell me you got it? Let this mind be in you that had it. If you haven't got it, pray that God will give you the spirit of revelation. You better get it, like the Bible says. Now let's look at it just a few more minutes, and I am going to close. I said that that had to do with the catching up. 40 days he was seen and then caught up. Is that right? Just about 40 days from the last meeting over to that one. Now, then, remember the shatter's out of proportion a little bit. This is about 40 days, maybe a little over. Now look at it. What is Atlanta, Georgia? I said I had a vision that she would burn, and I saw the nations look at Atlanta, Georgia. How many of you remember that? For this idiot ever, Jimmy Carter, I said the nations look at Atlanta, Georgia. Isn't that right? Is the nations looking at Atlanta, Georgia? I said they looked at it and they was going to accept it, and then they rejected it because of the filth that was in it. And I said it'll burn. Then they published that picture where that black Maynard Jackson fiddled while Rome burned. Is that right? Played him up as Nero. Is that right? Now, what is it? I said it had to do with this past meeting. Somebody said, oh, I don't see it. Well, you're not looking. Jesus said, watch and pray. We'd know when it was nigh at hand. Then where is the mark of the beast? All right, look at it. When I come back from Oviana, they brought that little ship. That was a new world. Is that right? Then they had the conflict of the black man. I remember that. At Plymouth Rock. Now watch exactly what I'm saying now. What happened when I got back? Somebody brought to me a clipping. What was the clipping? In the clipping was a big shepherd dog. What was they doing to the German shepherd? German intellect, shepherd, false leader. What was they doing with it? They were tattooing a number on the German shepherd dog. What is it? They say it's a new thing. They say that a dog can lose his dog tag and you lose your pet. Are you listening? But say tattoo a number on him, then you can't lose it. And did I make the statement that when it come, it would come through the cards? And I said it will come through the social security number. And I said the people will miss it because they're looking for a 666 to personally come to them. Is that right?
But I said it'll come through the social security number, head up in the computerized system under the papacy of Rome, the man whose number is 666. And they would take the name or the mark or the number of his name in their forehead or in their hand. Are you listening? They put a number on the dog. And what was the number? It's the man's social security number. Somebody said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the mark of the beast. Somebody said, you crazy, that's a dog. That's what Jesus called them. All that are without are dogs. Is that right? He said they're beasts. If that's the beginning of the mark, then it'll work its way up to them two-legged beasts. For every person that's not a son of God is a beast. That system is coming in. Where is it coming in? In Atlanta, Georgia. Now watch it. It'll work so good. How did that beast get in? How did Satan get in? He went through the beast, and then what did he do? Then to the woman. Is that right? It's following it perfectly. Is that right? Who is the woman? The flesh. The two-legged walking ones. Now watch. What is he trying to do? Trying to get into the spirit. Said the saints would rise and take the kingdom after that the devil had wore them out. Is that right? Ain't the presidents talking about religion? Even the paper stated they never talked about religion before, the paper stated. But now they're looking to religion. Why? Because their day is over. Their education won't do it. It's going to take God now. They say we can't do it without God. They can't do it with God. The Bible said when they got the Ark of the Covenant over there, it worked in reverse form. Now that they're turning to religion, the tribulation is going to come in, and they're going to be in the worst of shape than they've ever been in their life. They've been better off if they left the Ark of the Covenant alone. They're going to bring in the wrath of God like the Philistines did on them, and when they get through, they'll throw the Ark of the Covenant, so to speak, at the children of Israel. You understand what I'm saying? So then that means our day's over. They turn to religion. That means it's our time now, brethren. That means the millennium government is here. Like I brought out on the tape the other day, just before the tribulation, they declared the kingdom of this world to be the kingdom of our God. Is that right?
That's right.
What was it when we set it up yonder in Olive Branch and the Lord spoke to me and I made the statement? I said, I do this day declare the kingdoms of this world to be the kingdoms of our God.
Amen.
That's the way he told me to set it up. That's the way I set it up. And it was to be effective after this period of time, going back to Olive Branch. And I preached on Revelation 10 up in the Benbow. The bow over the head, three stories up, the third heaven. Right there, the thunders caught up the airplane. And the thunders, every few minutes. Thundering just about shaking the building. Somebody said, what's that got to do with it? Went down the road a little and the sign said the four winds. The writer said, washing over. What's that got to do with it? Somebody said, you're foolish. And a base to confound the wise. That's why I was chosen. Now, God's speaking. A lot of other things happen outside of there. That's just a few of them. Like Horn Lake, like the dragon, the other things that took place. But what is it? The beast coming in. Somebody said, I don't believe that, Brother Pike, but it is. Now watch just a few minutes. Brother Terrell changed the thing over. Olive Branch had to do with the changeover from Brother Baldwin, Calvin, to Brother Baldwin, Delmer, from Brother Delmer, to Brother Wilson. Now I got it on tape where it breaks it down and shows how it done it and why it done it. But it come over. Is that right? Now, when I went there, it meant that Judah and Israel was no longer separated. The body and the spirit no longer separated. Now listen. The church and the government no longer separated.
That's right, that's right.
Come on, folks. That's why the Catholics believe in church over the government. Or that is, church over state. That's why they know the government's to be upon his shoulder and they're an antitype of it. But God's had separation of church and state. But why is Jimmy Carter going to religion? Bringing it together. There's fornication in the sight of God. That's the sins that goes back to Balaam when they joined state and church together. But with you and I, it's not fornication because the government is to be upon our shoulders. That's why God brought us to Monroe, a city of seven governors. That's why he brought the little stone in, the cornerstone, the builders rejected, that had Elijah, General Elijah on it. When Brother JT come over and we spoke of the revelation, the battle being fought by General Elijah down here at Jack Creek. You understand what I'm saying? Wait, I got some more to say yet. Just wait. Now I said, I don't see it. Well, just hold on, you will. Then what was it? The mark of the beast. What mark of the beast? The social security number. Didn't they change the number of the servicemen? Didn't they take away the dog tag number? Didn't they give them their social security number? Didn't they put the tag under the social security number? How will they change everything under it? Everything's under a number. I said to you the other day, get your piece of meat, weigh it out to your numbers. Your check numbers, your tag numbers, your birthday numbers. How many is in the church? Numbers. To build the church, 50, 60 numbers. Everything's numbers. Read your light meter numbers. Computerized. The mark of the beast. That is the flesh. That's not of God. So then the mark of the beast coming in right on time. But now what does it have to do with Atlanta, Georgia? I said it would move from Washington to Atlanta, Georgia. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Then tell me why did they spend $35 million on the biggest World Congress building in the world with 350,000 square feet under it? Come on, folks. Somebody said, well, they got a right to spend money. In other words, they spent $35 million while New York, Detroit, and the other cities was going bankrupt. Come on, folks. Even Atlanta, Georgia has $35 million that they could spend while others was going bankrupt. You know better than that. The government was behind that. That's what it was. That's why they're putting the tunnel up under. I said Atlanta, Georgia would go when the rest of them fell through. They're putting a tunnel up under there. Why are they putting it? Because in Washington, up under the earth, they've got their tunnels that goes from one business building to another. In case of war, they can still negotiate. That's why they're putting those tunnels under Atlanta, Georgia. Why did they go back and revive underground Atlanta as well? Let me understand what I'm saying. See, something's taking place. Somebody said Atlanta, Georgia, you don't really believe it. That's going to be it. Rome, a little place called Rome, is not too far away. Stands to reason that a little place called Bethlehem would be close by. Now, somebody said, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, Judah and Israel is no longer to be separated. When Brother Delma give it up on the woman's side up over there, Brother Wilson took it up as one with us over here. It indicated that Israel and Judah was come back together, that there won't be one government out there for the world and one government for the church. But that government is over. And the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom. And the saints of God will possess it. And the kingdoms of this world will be all the government of our God. What is the government anyway? Israel coming back under Judah. The woman under the man going back to Israel, the head of the nations. Not two nations, a two-headed freak. One nation, Israel. You understand what I'm saying? Then what is the time of the rising up and taking the kingdom? Where is the kingdom? Within you? I got it. Have you got it? Amen. I'm claiming it. Are you claiming it? Taking the kingdom of God and possessing it, and then making the kingdom of this world the kingdom of our God. Somebody said, well, I believe that's going to be, but when do you believe it's going to be? The Bible said when that angel stood in Revelation declaring that time should be no more. It was before the 3.5 years tribulation that somebody declared that. Somebody said, we got plenty of time. That proves you don't believe, Brother Branham. If you believe, you ought to stick with it. Brother Branham said, instead, that would be it. Then where is that declaration before it that says the kingdoms of this world is the kingdoms of our God? If that's 4 months away, then where is the declaration? Come on, folks. You don't believe what you're preaching. That's what it is. But I believe what I'm preaching. Hallelujah. The revelation of Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Then you say, Brother Pike, you believe a place is going to be blown up in 77? I believe they're on the verge of hurling the bombs right now. You mean to tell me you believe all it's going to be blown up in 77? I believe that the revelation of Jesus Christ is the millennium government. And that those that belong to it, they are the sons of God. And that the earth is waiting for the manifestation of the bar mitzvah. The Jews, sonship. When the Jews come in, Paul said it's the resurrection from the dead according to the revelation of Jesus Christ he saw. Said when they went out, it was the reconciling of the world. So when they come in, so that shows redemption of the body because they're dead. It's typical of the body, the fall, the beast. His revelation stated in his mind that was coming in is how he knew it. The same revelation I'm preaching today, that's how I know it. That's how I know what he knew about it. You understand what I'm saying? So then, it is a true fact that turning back to the Jews is the redemption of the body. The woman's world is over. The male world is coming in. When the woman's world is over, the briars are gone. The desert shall blossom as a rose. The millennium shall come in. Because the male is the one that's got the understanding of God. The woman's got the understanding of the devil. That's why the world is full of lust. Sin is in the world because of lust. Now, I'm not talking about holy women. Holy women are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I'm talking about the flesh of those unregenerated, whether male or female. Now, you follow me? All right, look at it for just, you have to use the woman and the man to give the type. That's the only way you can do it. But now, look at it. What happens in the millennium? The woman is no more under the control of the husband. They're one. They're one. In the garden, Adam wasn't ruling over Eve. They were one. They were equal in the Shekinah glory of God. Nobody didn't have to tell nobody what to do. All of them will know me from the least to the greatest. They've got one mind. You don't have to tell the wife what to do. She does it because God tells her to do it. She wants to do it. She's one with her husband. You understand what I'm saying? I delight to do thy will, O God. Is that the way the wife should be? I delight to do thy will, O God. You say it, it's done. I'll do it. You think it, it's my heart's desire. If a wife ain't like that toward her husband, something's wrong with her. Because that's the church in Christ. All right, look at it a little further here. I'm not trying to prolong it. I just want to be sure that you understand what I'm saying. Look at it just a little bit longer. Now, if that's the mark of the beast, it's coming in on time. When we ended that over an olive branch, came back, the angel said, time no more, the typical thunders. Now, I said this last night. Somebody said, Brother Branham brought them thunders. Well, if he did, he lied about it because he made a statement that he saw it and he couldn't interpret it. He said that. He said, I saw the thunders, but I could not understand what they're saying. The same thing that John said. Is that right? Brother Branham said on one tape, he said, could this possibly be the thunders that I'm bringing out? No, it couldn't have been. Somebody said, what do you mean it couldn't have been? Because the Bible said when that angel sounds, the mysteries of God are finished. And as quick as they were finished, John looked and saw the mystery in heaven. The woman with the foot on the moon, he said, the man child went up. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, if you don't believe it, Brother Branham is a seventh angel. I believe that Brother Branham closed out the church ages. Yes. But them seven angels had nothing to do with the angels that closed out the church ages. Nothing to do with it. You say, but Brother Branham taught they did. Brother Branham did not teach they did. You don't have any such teachings as that. So I said, what do you mean, Brother Pike? He named them. Didn't he name them? How did he know he named them? Paul, Irenaeus, Clumber, right on down, Wesley, and so forth. Didn't he name them? He said, them was the angels. Is that right? In the last one, they put Brother Branham up there. Is that right? But the Bible said when these seven angels sounded, a third part of the moon and the stars were smitten. That had to do with tribulation. It said when these angels sounded, a third part of humanity was destroyed. Is that right? It said when these sounded, a third part of the heavens become dark. Now I understand what it's saying. We bring out a little of it on tape. Gonna bring out some more of the Lord's will, but not today.
I just read it so it would get in your mind so I could make a point. Then the last three angels was whoa, whoa, whoa. Is that right? And between the second and the third whoa, what was it? Revelation 10, when the angel said, seal it up, John. Is that right? Seal it up, John. Said six of them sounded. But John, you seal it up. Come on now. Somebody said, but Brother Branham said, but Brother Branham didn't say. That's what you got out of what he said, an uncertain sound. But Brother Branham said, no, he didn't. Brother Branham said, just like all true Bible scholars that understand that Revelation 4 was the rapture of the church. Isn't that what Brother Branham said? The church goes out in Revelation 4 and isn't seen to Revelation 19. Come on, folks. Where are you at? Is that right? Then that means that Brother Branham went out in Revelation 4. Come on. Come on. I said he went out in Revelation 4 just like the rest of the church. Then how is it that he's seen sounding as the seventh angel way after John got up into heaven? See, something's wrong. It don't fit together right. How is it that all these things happen? The Bible said when that angel sounded over there when them woes began to set in, it said the bottomless pit was open and the locusts come up. Come on. Was that the tribulation period? That angel didn't sound until after that. Is that right? The seventh angel. You understand? In other words, at the end of the tribulation period, then the mysteries of God is finished. Come on. Somebody say, now, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me? I mean to tell you. Line upon line and precept upon precept, if any man take away from that book, his part will be taken out of the book of life. If you break one of the least of these commandments, teach men so, you should be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Line upon line, just the way the Bible says it. When did that angel sound? It had to do with the middle of the week. The catching up of the man child, that's when it had to sound. So then what do you think about it? It doesn't matter what to think about it. It's what the Bible says about it. It doesn't matter what you think about it. It's what God's word says. Somebody said, I can show you. I'm waiting for you to do it. Today, tomorrow, or any time you get ready. You're running as one that beateth the air. You don't know and you don't understand and you won't understand. Because the wicked shall not see when good cometh. But I want you to see something. It is a true fact that in the spiritual application of the sounding of the angels, it has taken place. But it took place in a spiritual revelation called the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know how it took place because I saw it take place. I saw the things that was done. All right, now, why then, Brother Pike, do you say what you do about Atlanta? I made the statement the little White House was moved by Franklin Delano Roosevelt a long time ago down to Georgia. The president's just getting around to it now. What did Kennedy run on? He run on the same platform President Roosevelt run on. Is that right? Now look at Jimmy Carter, right here closing. I feel the sparks going out a little bit here on some of you. But listen right here, and trying to close now. What makes you believe? There's a lot of things I'd like to say and explain to you, but you've been a good audience. I've held you a long time, and I didn't mean to hold you this long. And if I keep holding you, some of you just wear out on me. You can't. Now listen, the mark of the beast, is that right? When the angel sounds, then time shall be no more. Is that right? When that angel sounds, the mysteries of God will be finished. Is that right? Come on. 10 long years has gone by. Brother Branham is dead, buried in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And they're publishing a lie from his tabernacle. I said that last night. I said it to brethren up there. They're publishing a lie. They say that Brother Branham is the pastor of the tabernacle. Brother Branham's dead. Like God said to Joshua, tell my people Moses is dead. Yeah, yeah. Somebody said, now Brother Branham can't be dead. He was the son of God. Moses appeared in glory with Elijah too, but God said to tell him he's dead. Solomon said, the dead know not anything. You understand what I'm saying? Now, like I made a statement here recently. Somebody said, are you comparing yourself with Brother Branham? Don't be foolish.
Brother Branham had been dead for 10 long years. If Brother Branham was here living, then you'd have a chance to say, Brother Pike, you're comparing yourself with Brother Branham. I'm not comparing myself with anybody. The Bible said, measure yourself by yourself, you're not wise. People are not wise doing that. I'm telling you that God gave me the revelation of Jesus Christ for this hour. I've got it. I know that I've got it. I don't have to have anybody to tell me. I got it. Paul said my much revelation, and he wasn't puffed up like you'd like to think I am either. He just stated a fact. Brother Branham's dead. 10 years has gone by. That was Brother Branham's day 10 years ago. If this is Brother Branham's day today, then this is Wesley's day today. Why not believe Wesley too? Oh, wait a minute. Somebody said, wait a minute. You don't believe in Methodist folks. Why not? But you know they're not right. But Brother Branham said Wesley was right. But we're talking about Wesley's followers. We're talking about Brother Branham's followers. Come on, folks. Then where are we standing? Do we believe the prophet or do we not believe the prophet? You either believe him all the way, you don't believe him at all. You explain him away or explain what God was saying, one of the two. Honor, look at it. Why is Jimmy Carter coming up in Atlanta, Georgia this time? Why is there a $35 million building at this time? What does a city need with a $35 million World Congress building? Does that make sense to you? You that's got good reasoning out there in the things of God, does that make sense to you that a city like Atlanta needs a $35 million World Congress building with 6 languages in it? Well, she wasn't even an international city till just a few months ago. No, see what it is, something's happening. That's where the mark of the beast is coming up. Somebody said, I don't see it. But that was it, where they tattooed that on there. It's going to work so well, they're going to go to that laser beam, watch and see, and put it on the 2-leg beast. Now watch and see if it don't happen. That was it coming in. Somebody said, how can you prove that it's in Atlanta? All right, listen to this. I'm going to prove this right here, and then I'm going to close out. Now, how can you prove that it's Atlanta, Georgia? How many of you know that Jimmy Carter comes from what they call the Plains of Dura? His home is the plains. They say the place is becoming overrun with people. The name of it is the Plains of Dura. Have you remember when I spoke of Memphis having to do with Egypt back there? And they found out later it was named after Egypt. Now, the Plains of Dura. That's what the place is named, where it comes from. Discovered by, in the time of a train depot that was put there. And it goes back to death and the Calvary, to the cross. You say, what's that got to do with it, Brother Pike? The Plains of Dura. Listen, I preached to you a little bit ago that during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel was down there when the split was going on. Where was Daniel at? He was in the Plains of Dura. Read the Bible and see. What was the Plains of Dura? The place where Nebuchadnezzar fought his battle. Was that all? No, that wasn't all of it. Why did Jimmy Carter come up out of the Plains of Dura? Because the Bible said the Plains of Dura is where Nebuchadnezzar set the image 666 up and made the world bow down to it. Oh, somebody said coincidental. All right. When you leave from here, say, folks, I've been down to Coincidental Corner. Watch you go down there. They just have lots of coincidence down there. Got hundreds of tapes just full of coincidence. You that believe in the divine providence of God, that God is a revelation of Jesus Christ, that he's preached, that he's comprehended, and from this you move from glory to glory, dimension to dimension, into the third heaven, which is not the beast's mind, but God's mind, the mind of Jesus Christ. That is the third heaven. Somebody said, well, I haven't seen a thing. And that is true. If the blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch, and the great whore is the ditch. You're blind. You can't show a blind man nothing. He's blind. Do all you want to. When you get through, he's blind. He can't see. But I thank God that I'm not blind. I can see. My eyes see. My ears hear what the Spirit saith to the church. And brothers, the mark of the beast, it's already in the land, and you are going to take it. And the Brother Branham followers is going to take it. Oh, no. I'm not talking about the true Brother Branham followers. As I live, they'll take the mark of the beast. So will the Church of God. so will the UPC that call themselves Jesus' name. Not the true elect, not the true saints, no. But every denomination will do it. Every following will do it. Every one of them will do it. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, Brother Branham preached that the denominations would do that. That's right. Give them 3 years. He said, there'll be a denomination. They'll take it. The following of Brother Branham will take it just like the rest of them. Now, it's on you. Jimmy Carter's coming up to set it in motion. Not for a local government, a world government from Atlanta, Georgia. Why does he keep saying things against the White House? The White House is dirty. We got to clean it up. We got to sweep it up. After a while, he'll decide it ain't no good at all. Need to come down to Georgia. Sure, a fellow likes his hometown. I don't know, but what his wife already said, Jimmy, we might live in that White House for a little while, but we're coming home. Somebody said, oh, she'd never do that. Oh, yeah. Somebody said, you mean to tell me that they'd trade the White House for Georgia? President Roosevelt traded it, went down and built him almost a shack, got rid of all of his modern stuff and turned it an old 39 Ford, done away with the limousine, done away with the modern everything, and got out in the country because it's about to drive him crazy. You understand what I'm saying? Your government is gone, my brother, but our government is here. I want you to stand with me. So then the image is coming up in the plains of Dura. Where is that at? Georgia. The plains of Dura. But I like that scripture that says, Bethlehem, out of thee shall come forth a governor. Thou art not the least. Like a fellow said the other day, he said, Brother George is going to die and God's going to raise me up to take him on in. I said, take him on in to what? I don't know of nothing to take him on into. What is there to take him on into? We've done come into the revelation of Jesus Christ. What else is there to take them into? It shows the beginning. It shows the presence. It shows the end. It shows where you was, where you are, and where you're going. Take them on into what? Somebody said, well, take them on in. Take them on into what? I've been translated into the kingdom of God. What nothing to do but bring the revelation of Jesus Christ and open your understanding that's come. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, wait and see when the darkness comes. Then you'll recognize it. Some of you can't tell, but you'll know. When the darkness comes, you say, how am I going to know? By the pains and the sorrows and the heartaches and the gnawings and the woes. And somebody's going to say, you know what? That little old bald-headed preacher over there, maybe there was something to him. Oh, crucify him, ain't nothing to him. Oh, when the rocks rent and the heavens turn black, they said, surely this man must have been the Son of God. I started to say something then, and the Spirit said something else. And he shocked me. He shocked me. So then, we're right down at the end of the road. The end of the road. Somebody said all them foolish things. Yes, sir. Confound you because you're so smart and intelligent. Some of you are going to spend your life running your mouth like the old serpent, your tongue like that. A crooked generation. Making a crooked trail, causing division and troubles and woes and heartaches and sorrows till God despises you and turns you over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. And I'm going to tell you again, you talk about turning somebody over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh so that God will save their soul. That's not Bible. I'll tell you that right now. No Bible for that. When Paul said, turn them over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, he was speaking of the church. Get them out, be a new lump. Cut off the wounded arm, the leg, before the whole tree rottens. To save the life of the tree, purge them. Get them out. Turn them over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. Why? That the church might be saved, that the body might be saved, that the whole might be saved. In other words, be a new lump. Don't leave the cancer in there till it kills the body. When you turn him over to the devil, he isn't going to be redeemed. No, sir. His soul isn't going to be redeemed, nor is he going to be redeemed, nor is anything going to be redeemed. He's gone. That's why you turn him over to the devil. Somebody said, I can prove different. I'll be waiting for you. Come on around. Somebody said, but I can prove where brother so-and-so said it. I don't prove nothing. Prove where this said it.
What Brother Pike said don't mean nothing. What Brother So-and said don't mean nothing. What God said. No need to come to me with anything that Brother Allen or anybody else said. It ain't got nothing to do with it. If Brother Allen or Brother Pike or anybody else says something concerning the Word, then like Brother Branham said, stay with the Word. If the Word says it, say. If the Word don't say it, then the person that said it's a lie. That's Brother Pike and everybody else. Let every man be a lie and the Word of God be true. When you turn them over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, Paul teaches they're gone. Don't have fellowship. If a brother be a fornicator, don't so much as eat with him. I want us to bow our heads together, and I want to pray for you. I feel there are some here this morning that really needs prayer. For your body, there's been some that's been real sick. And some of you need a touch in your spirit. Some of you need your understanding open. Brother Branham said, we preach it, nail the plank on the wall where the wind don't get it. When you preach it right. I'm just a fragment. I'm nothing. A heifer of your faith. I made a statement. Somebody come from the Carolinas recently. A preacher. He said, do you mean to tell me everybody's got to come to Little Bethlehem to make the rapture? I said, certainly not. I sure don't mean to tell you that. I said, but I mean to tell you one thing. Everybody's got to come to the revelation of Jesus Christ to make it.
Amen.
Now, somebody said, but I see it different. But you can't see it different. Said, you got to see eye to eye. Somebody said, well, you a good fella, but ain't no buts about it. You got to get all the buts out of the way. You either see with me or you don't. That means one of us is wrong. Either me or you are wrong. If we don't see eye to eye, brother, one of us is wrong. Somebody said, well, then that makes me right. Then I knew you was wrong. Well, if I'm wrong, then publish it to the world. See? Go tell them that I'm false. Oh, I ain't going to say you're a false prophet. Well, then you don't have a backbone. If you're the false prophet, I'd tell them. Somebody's wrong. Either be what you are, let the world know it, don't be in between. I got more respect for people that call me a false prophet than I have for them that get in between. Even though I know that they are a liar, I still got more respect for them than they that get in between.
Amen.
See, be one way or another. You never have confusion unless it's out of Sanballat the half-breed. Always Sanballat the half-breed. They won't go one way or another. They stand in between and hinder them that's coming. God said, I'll spew them out of my mouth. Be what you are. Be hot or cold, the Bible said. I want you to bow your heads with me. I want you to see eye to eye with me. If you can't see eye to eye, you better come and visit with me till you can. Or you better visit with me till you can point your finger in my face and call me whatever you want to call me and be on your way. Because you're going to brand me one way or another. Either true or false. Or God's going to tear your hide up for running around causing trouble and being a backbiter and causing division. As I live before God, he'll tear you up. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you don't believe God will do that? He said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. He will tear you up. He's tore up a lot of people, folks. I almost spent a whole sermon in Columbus just relating some of the things that's happened to different ones that's passed on, that's been in wrecks, and different things that's happened to them that I'm acquainted with that's come against this ministry. I said, oh, you're trying to scare me. Wish I could. If there's any way, if you'll tell me, I'll sure do it. But I said so many times, if I scare you in, somebody else is a little scarier and they'll scare you out. So you don't get into the kingdom like that. You don't scare people in or out. People repent of their sins. They love God. They're looking for the truth and they come in. Others are full of reprobate to every good work, disputing, finding fault, contrary, saying things, bickering, backbiting, causing strong delusions that people should believe a lie and be damned. But the children of God are peacemakers. Peace is sown of them that make peace. They form unity. They work together. The wisdom that cometh from God is first good, without partiality, easy to be entreated, full of love and grace, forms unity. But Paul said, men of your own self will rise up and lead men away after them. They do, they have, they will. I want you to bow your heads with me, and after this we'll pray for our brethren here. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. The faith that cometh by the hearing, not of your convictions, but of the word of God. That's the only salvation faith. Faith by the hearing of the word. There are those that are here this morning, they're jealous of me. Same old spirit of Cain. Jealous. Cruel as the grave. They mock me. Say things about me to my back. As quick as they get out of my sight. Try to poison people against me. But they do it to their own hurt and to their own destruction. I love them just as much. But down the road they'll meet destruction. It'll just be heartaches and sorrow for them and their loved ones. They that trouble you, the Bible said, I'll trouble them. You trouble the man of God, and the first news you know, you got trouble in your home, and you got heartaches and woes and heaviness in your heart. You got problems you can't cope with. I'll trouble them that trouble you. He's God's minister, set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. But for your good, if you do good, set there to remit your sins or retain your sins by faith in the word. I want to pray for all of you. Father of heaven, this group of people that have come together to listen. And I've spoken not only to these, Father, but the tapes that will go out around the world in the different places. I also speak to them, whether it be over the radio, Father, whether it be in the home, whether it be in the church, as many of them play the tapes in the church. Wherever it might be, Lord, let it be according to your goodness and your will and your power and your understanding. Oh, Lord, bless. Bless those that hear my voice. Wherever they hear my voice, in the automobiles, in the homes, wherever it might be, oh God, bless. Be present with them. Let your presence be with them, Lord, throughout this world, wherever they might be. And heal Jesus and forgive Jesus and save Jesus and transformate our minds and our spirits into the mind of the Almighty God. Let us understand this great mystery that Paul spoke of, knowing that the mark of the beast has come, and that we stand, Lord, as a child of God in the midst of a crooked generation. And few there be that find this, Lord, according to your way in word. A little flock that you give the kingdom to. But may it be so that that little flock throughout the world will respond, Jesus. And may those that are arrogant, haughty, contrary, backbiters, gossipers, that sow discord and division, may they be taken out of the way. Pluck up every plant, Heavenly Father, that you've not planted. And, O Lord, let us be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. These that are sick, I pray that you will heal them. These that are in need, I pray that you will grant their needs. These that have been patient to hear the word, though I've been lengthy in my expressions this morning, Father, may they understand what I've said. May they hear it, and may they believe it. And Father, as Jesus said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them that will believe on me, Lord, through thy word and through thy way. And I pray, as David of old said, those that would wrestle against thee, may they always go backwards. May their table become a snare unto them. Lord, that they can't have the desire to fast and seek God. May they be turned around. May confusion fall upon them. Lord, as the darkness did in the days of Gideon when the little pitchers were broken. And may the creatures of darkness war among themselves till they are no more. Lord, and the sons of God come in and set up thy government with this great mind of revelation. Knowing that a knowledge is a government, may this government be the knowledge of God and take the earth and set everything in order. I ask it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's pray for the baby. It says it's running a fever at night. Father of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, we thank you for this little child. We pray that you will heal it. Oh God, we pray that the fever will be moved out of its little body. the cold, whatever the cause is. I pray in Jesus' name that it would be so. Move it, Lord. Move the unbelief, God. I feel coming, Lord Jesus, from some of them in the audience. Help them to know that the evil heart of unbelief shall be burned in eternal flames. Oh God, have your way in Jesus' name. Fathers, I pray for our brother Richard the Jew. I thank you for Richard, for the opening of his understanding. Lord, I pray that your blessings would be upon him. Lord, the confidence in Jesus Christ. Heal the bodies. I feel the anointing right now. I feel you doing it now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Every unbelief, every wrong, every evil, every yoke, every sickness, every bondage, every fear. Move it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I feel him doing it, Richard. Praise God. You know, if you believe, God will heal. How many of you know that? I feel the Holy Ghost. Now, God doesn't heal everybody. I know that. But he wants to heal everybody. That's right. I remember a case went before Brother Roberts. Said he couldn't bring healing. Sent him to Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, I couldn't bring healing to him. They sent him to Mayo's Clinic. They got healed. Brother Branham said that they sent him to Mayo's Clinic. Said, though I couldn't bring healing to him, he got healed in Mayo's Clinic. But you know what I believe? I believe that his faith was in Mayo's Clinic. Because others came by and they got healed. And Jesus said many things that he could not do in that day because of unbelief. But if we believe, then all things are possible to them that believe. Peter said his faith hath made him whole. Isn't that right? His faith. You love the Lord? Somebody said, oh no, Brother Pike, it was the preacher's faith. Then Jesus was weak in faith. Isn't that right? Said many mighty things he could not do because he was weak in faith. No, you don't believe that, do you? No, they were weak in faith. You understand? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You love the Lord? Okay, let's pray and believe, folks. Father of heaven, I thank you this morning. These people are bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. Hallelujah. And in the name of Jesus, Father, may thy great spirit come down from out of heaven and heal, Jesus. And I feel you healing this morning. I feel you doing something. Break this yoke. Hallelujah. I pray for our brother Bill this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I pray for the healing of Bill. God, meet his needs. I feel his faith this morning in Jesus' name. As I pray for Brother Toby, oh God, in the name of Jesus, have your way. Heal, Jesus. Make well. As I feel the anointing of God. Hallelujah. Father, we know that you've resurrected from the dead. Father, heal the lovely name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel God. Father, bless our precious brother James, whose heart is so hungry, sincere, searching and looking for the truth. Lord, you said because thou hast loved righteousness, the Lord, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And I know because he's loved righteousness, you've anointed him above his fellows. And you've opened his understanding above his fellows, Jesus, that he might understand because he was sincere. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, touch Brother Bob. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray for your blessings in Bob's life. May he catch a strong vision in the spiritual things of God in Jesus' name. Touch the little child in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can you come right over here, Brother Arthur? Hallelujah. Father, as I pray for little William, I pray that you'd heal him. I believe you will in Jesus' name. Intervene in this home, in the life of Willie, the life of Ann. Bring healing to little Willie, little William, in Jesus' name. Grant it, Lord. Move every hindrance. the name of Jesus. Touch her in, Lord. Restore her to her steadfastness in God. Also, Brother Willie, give strength, blessings in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for Brother Arthur. Lord Jesus, may his mind be great and mighty in the scriptures, in the understanding of the Lord. Lord, I feel your anointing upon him right now. Holy Father, touch him. Let him walk in the wisdom of the light of thy word, becoming mighty in the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah, that men cannot withstand him in the word, that men cannot withstand the wisdom, Lord, that you placed in his heart. Let him be a great warrior, a mighty warrior that loves truth. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for our brother. Lord, I remember that he requested prayer when he left. He wanted me to pray for him. And Lord, I have prayed for him, and I do pray for him. Hallelujah, touch him. May thy spirit, oh God, flood this heart and this life. In the name of Jesus, Father, hallelujah, as I feel your presence, heal, move in this heart and in his wife's heart, in his home. Bless him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for Brother Ron. May thy spirit bless Brother Ron. May he be healed in his body. May the light of God open up to his understanding. Bless him, Jesus. Lead him in the pathways of righteousness. Let goodness follow him all the days of his life. Hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for Brother Daryl. May thy spirit be upon Daryl. God, as he tries to stand, oh God, having taken the terrific blow, Lord, that he has, the crushing things, may he stand. And Father, you said when we've done all that we can to stand, let him stand by faith. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Father, bless Mike. Give strength to Mike. Give him great love and tenderness and great boldness to speak the word. Open his understanding. Grant unto him the spirit of revelation. For this is his heart's desire, Father. Grant him. Bring to pass in his life that precious Lord which you promised. Break the yoke in Jesus' name. Fathers, I pray for Brother Beretta. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you touch his body. Strengthen him. Touch his home. Touch Dale, the children. Father, bring the past in his life, the ambitions for Christ. May he be a great light, a great warrior. Oh God, may he look ahead to great things in God, believing and having a perseverance that comes from Christ. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's word. We'll sing about God's word, and we'll give all the glory to Jesus, and sing of his wonderful word. One more time, can we? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's word.